And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that is the test or the proof of real love for Christ, a willingness to obey the Lord. And we're going to look at some of that even tonight in our message. Turn over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we're still in chapter 10. We'll be here for maybe a couple more weeks, a week or two at least. I mean, maybe even including tonight. But we started this passage last week looking at the life of Cornelius and how he was a man who was searching for truth. He was a devout man, the Bible says. He was a religious man, and he did all of these things that a normal Christian might do, and yet he was still without Christ, and he needed to be saved. And so we looked at him as a prime example of a person who might be religious but lost. And so we see, as we read through this portion of Scripture, how the Lord answered his prayer, and the Lord sent him, Peter, to give him the gospel and his house as well. And tonight, we're going to focus on Peter. So last week, we focused on Cornelius, but we're going to turn our attention now to Peter. And the title of the message tonight is Peter the Preacher. Peter the Preacher. I want us to look in verses 9 through 23 as our text. Bible says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.' This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, 'Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, 'Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." There are several things in this passage of Scripture. I just want to bring out a couple of principles, though, related to Peter, and things that we can even apply in our own life. And again, the title of the message is Peter the Preacher. The first thing I want us to look at is the vision of Peter. And specifically, we look in verse 9, and we see Peter's time of prayer. Look in verse 9. "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." Here is Peter's time of prayer. And if you notice here, it says that it was about the sixth hour. That is noon, essentially. And so he's praying in the middle of the day. Now, to understand this a little bit, you have to understand that the Jewish days begin in the evening, at 6 p.m. roughly, in the evening. That's the start of a brand new day. And in the Jewish time, or the Jewish clock, they would divide 12-hour periods. So there was 12 hours of nighttime, then there was 12 hours of daytime. And how they would do that would be, in the nighttime, they were called watches. And there were four of them throughout the night. And And those were the nighttime divisions, four watches. And so, being that a new day started about 6 p.m., from 6 to 9 p.m. would be the first watch, and from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. would be the second watch of the night, and from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. would be the third watch of the night, and then from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. would be the fourth watch of the night. And then it would switch to what they would call hours. And so if you do the math and you see that he was praying about the sixth hour, you'd find that it was noon. And so in the middle of the day, daylight hours, Peter is up on the rooftop praying. And you have to wonder, what was he praying about? And it's complete speculation. The Bible doesn't say exactly what he was praying about, but we can maybe make some educated guesses related to this. And I would think, and I would imagine that Peter was, it was a normal thing for him to go to the Lord in prayer, but he was probably praying about the next area or phase of ministry that he should partake in. If you remember back in chapter 9, in verse 43, in fact, we can go back there and look at it. Remember back in chapter 9, at the end of the chapter, he went to Joppa and he raised Dorcas from the dead. You remember that? We covered that in verse 40. Peter put them all forth and he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And so he raised her from the dead in verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Look at verse 43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. And here, he's still in Simon's house when these men from Cornelius are sent to him, and he'd been there for many days. And so he might have been praying about what God's will was for the next phase of his ministry, where he should be going next. If you look earlier in chapter 9, where was it? Verse 32 of chapter 9. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. You see what he's doing? He's traveling from place to place, from quarter to quarter, visiting churches and so on. Well, now he's many days in Joppa, and it's possible that he was praying about where God would have him to go next. And while he's praying, these men are on their way and come to him, already sent from Cornelius. The Lord already had a plan in place. And I think that Peter was probably seeking to know the mind of the Lord for the next part of his ministry. And even as he was praying, the messengers of Cornelius were coming. You know, I could make an application here. We could make some applications just from this simple verse. You know, Peter was in a position where he could have just decided for himself where he was going to go, what he was going to do. I mean, he stayed in Joppa many days, and he could have just decided, you know what, I've had enough of this, and it's time for me to move on somewhere. But he stayed there. Why? Because the Lord hadn't moved him yet. And we can make an application here that, you know, he wasn't going to make a move, he wasn't going to make a decision until he had clear direction from the Lord about what to do. That is a great life principle, folks, for every person and for every area of life. Don't make moves and decisions based on anything other than the Lord's leading and the Lord's direction. Let me say it again. Don't make moves. Don't make decisions based on anything other than the Lord's leading and the Lord's direction. All too often, though, people make decisions for their life based on what? Their feelings. Based on how they feel and what they want. And we ought not to make decisions based upon our feelings. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In every area, in all thy ways, in every aspect of life, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. What? You don't think I'm smart enough? What, you don't think I can make my own decisions? You don't think I got this thing under control? Apparently not. The Lord says, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All too often, people make decisions based on their feelings. You know, like, I'm tired of Alaska. And I want to go. I've had enough. I'm going to move. I don't like this job. I'm going to go somewhere else. Etc., etc., etc. You with me? Peter didn't move. He stayed right where God put him until the Lord was the one who said it's time to move and time to go. That's a great principle for life. You know what? If God puts you in Black Road Baptist Church, you need to stay in Black Road Baptist Church until the Lord picks you up and moves you, if He does. But you better be clear that it's the Lord who is making the decisions and not my flesh or what I want. You understand what I'm saying? I know what it's like sometimes. You can feel claustrophobic in such a big state. Isolated, you know. You can drive for 15 hours and still not be across the whole state. All kinds of stuff like that. Things can be hard. There might be a temptation. Hey, you know, I'm looking across the fence and it looks like it's greener over on the other side. There might be a temptation based on feelings to want to get up and move. But that could be the worst thing that you ever do if God is not in it. So many times, this isn't part of the message, I just thought of this. I don't do Facebook, but for some reason, the last day, I've been like flipping through my wife's Facebook page, and I'm like catching up on like a year and a half's worth of news. I'm like, hey, I didn't know that. You find a lot of stuff out on Facebook. I came across a person's that I have known for quite some time, a family. I came across their daughter's Facebook page. This was a family who, by all appearances on the outside, they had their I's dotted, their T's crossed, they had everything right down, you know, to the very, very minutest detail covered. For all appearances, they looked like they were, you know, a diligent, godly, determined, structured family. Their kids were respectful. Their kids seemed to be, you know, doing fine for the most part in their younger years. But something happened along the way. Something changed in the heart, and they seemed to grow a little more distant, a little colder, a little more distant from the church family, etc. Until finally one day, they had enough of the preacher, they had enough of the things that were going on, and they said, you know what, we're not going to stay here anymore, we're going to move our membership. And they changed their membership to another place. Meanwhile, their daughter goes off to college, somewhere on the East Coast, I think. And I haven't really heard from him at all since that particular time. Just came across her Facebook page and saw some of these pictures that she's posting of herself and of her family. And I didn't even recognize her. She had changed that much. And she looked just like the world. I mean, she was wearing, you know, a blouse with the buttons all undone, you know, down to about here. And so on, with these provocative looks, and you know, she's wearing tight blue jeans, and started flipping through some more. I'm like, this person? And I started flipping through some more pictures, and I saw her mother and her daughter wearing the same kinds of clothing. These are ladies. These are women. You know, who at one point, you know, had said that they had some convictions about what they would wear. and they wouldn't wear pants, and they wouldn't wear jeans, and they would dress like ladies and modestly and all of this kind of stuff. These are the convictions that they said they had until something changed. And they left the place that God had put them, and now you see evidence that they're not the same people. They're not under the protection of the Lord anymore, because they've taken themselves out of that place. And all the convictions that they said they held, nowhere to be seen. What am I saying? God puts us in places for a reason. And if God puts you in this church, He puts you here for a reason. And it's a place of safety. It's a place of instruction. It's a place where you can serve God. It's a place where you can grow and you can thrive and you can flourish for His honor and His glory. And when we take ourselves out of the place of God's will, we open ourselves up to all the influences of the world, and we open up ourselves for the attack of the devil, and he's going to destroy our life. It's not a light thing, is what I'm telling you, to make decisions based on our own understanding or based on our feelings. And sometimes the feelings, you know, people get bent out of shape at this person or that person, or they get bent out of shape at the preacher because of this and he, you know, all, whatever. The devil uses all of those things, every single one of those things, to change our thinking and to cause us to take ourselves out of the place of safety. It's not good to make decisions and make moves based on how we feel. Why? Because your feelings are finicky. Your feelings change. Your feelings will lie to you. We live life based on principle. Principle from God's Word. Amen? How did I get onto that? Oh, I'm going to tie it back in. Told you, that wasn't part of the message. I just thought of it. Let me tie it back in, though. How am I going to do that? Oh. Opportunities present themselves. You know, like, hey, opportunity to take a new job. Maybe not be a bad thing in and of itself. May not be anything wrong with it at all. But simply because an opportunity presents itself doesn't mean that it's God's will. Are you with me? And if our feelings are the things that are controlling or dictating our decisions, you know, the temptation is, or the thought is, hey, there's a new opportunity. Let's run over there and do that. Hey, this could really benefit me. I'm going to run over here and do that. But if God is not in it, and we haven't spent time considering His will and praying about it, we might just run ourselves right into a whole lot of problems that we could have avoided if God's will was priority number one. And sometimes, here's how it is. People get this in their mind. Hey, I really want to do that. But I know the lingo. And I know what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. So, I'm going to pray about it. Oh, I prayed about it. I know this is what God wants me to do. And because we've prayed about it, we convince ourselves that this is God's will. When in reality, it wasn't God who was leading, it was our own feelings. That's what we really wanted to do all along. But we prayed about it. You understand what I mean? Did you really pray about it? Did you really surrender it to God and His will? Because look, there's two sides of the coin. You know, you might be in a current situation where you could stay or you could go. I really want to go. But what if God says stay? Are you open to His will? And if you're really surrendered to God's will and you leave it in His hands, the proof of that will be if He says to stay and you say, okay, Lord, I guess I don't need that. I'll stay right here. You with me? It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to make those decisions and make moves when the Lord is not the one who's really leading. Are we really open and surrendered in the heart to His will? And people will convince themselves or justify their actions. That's what it really comes down to. They just simply justify their actions by saying, I prayed about it. I know another family, another couple. They seem like thriving in the church, and they had opportunities of service, and things were going very, very well. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, oh, by the way, we're moving. What? Well, we prayed about it, and we know that the Lord wants us to go and do this. Well, how much time did you give to pray about it? Did you seek counsel about it? Did you talk to godly people and spiritual advisors about it and seek counsel from the Lord? Did you check His word? You know, because any decision that we make, folks, that would violate biblical principle is automatically not of the Lord. God will never lead us to do something that is contrary to His word. Well, you know, we've just prayed about this and we just know that this is God's will. Well, okay then. When we have opportunity to know for sure that God is in something by His word and by prayer and by proper counsel, we can be in a place of safety. By the way, last I heard, that family, they're not in a good church. So they picked themselves up and they moved to another part of the country. They didn't know what church they were going to go to. They didn't have that settled, that this is the place that God wants us to serve. Oh, well, we're just looking around still. We haven't found one that we really like. It's the wrong reason. And it's going to come back with a bad crop. I'm just saying that we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and it's a great principle for every part of life. Every decision that we make, it needs to be just yielded and surrendered to the Lord. And let Him be the one to direct our steps. That's where we find real contentment. That's where we find safety in the Lord's hands. And that's where we find real joy, being in the center of God's will. You see Peter's time of prayer here. Wow. But secondly, we see Peter's problem, verses 10 through 16. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Here's Peter's problem. We're not told how long Peter prayed here, but the Bible does say that he became extremely hungry. But before he could eat, he fell into a trance. I looked up that word, trance, and it's the Greek word ecstasies. And we get our word ecstasy from it. And it means a displacement of mind, an out-of-mind experience. Ever had one of those? An out-of-mind experience? The trance, though, that Peter fell into wasn't the answer to his prayer. This trance was something that the Lord did to prepare him for the next duty, the next place of service that he was about to go. You see, Peter had a heart problem. He was working and laboring from a burden of prejudice. He thought, just along with all the other Jews, that the gospel was for them only, them exclusively, when in reality the gospel was for all men. And God was about to use Peter in another way, but God had to prepare his heart first and show him his prejudice in order to put him in a position where he could actually serve God. You with that? You follow that? And so he lets down this sheet with all manner of four-footed beasts and so on. And if you read over in Leviticus chapter 11, you see those dietary restrictions that God put for the nation of Israel. And Peter was observing these things relentlessly. He said, I've never eaten anything uncommon or unclean in all of his days. And here is a sheet that's let down full of unclean and common things. And God said in his vision, this is pretty typical of Peter here. God said, arise, kill, and eat. And what did he say? Not so, Lord. It's pretty typical of Peter. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples in the garden and Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Remember that? You're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, nuh-uh, Lord. Though all men deny you, I never will. Here he is talking to the very Son of God, an all-knowing, all-powerful God. And he says, no, you're wrong, Lord. Well, here again, in the vision, he says, rise, kill, and eat. He says, not so, Lord. You don't understand. I've never eaten anything that's uncommon or common or unclean. You know, I thought about that for a second. And I thought, you know, his reply is actually contradictory terms. How do I know that? Because he called him Lord. And if he's a Lord, then he's the master. And he said, not so, Lord. Those things cannot fit together. You with me? To call Jesus Lord and yet not obey his commands is a contradiction. To call him Lord and not obey his commands is a contradiction. Look in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to have to quit. Luke chapter 6. Look in verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And we're not going to take the time to go and read the rest of that, but verse 46, it's kind of, Jesus makes kind of a rhetorical statement and a question here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You can't. I'm not really your master, and I'm not really your Lord if you're not going to obey and do the things that I say. And I said this earlier, what is the proof of our love for Christ? Our obedience to his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at Matthew chapter 21. This is interesting. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 and following. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And he's talking to the Pharisees here. But notice the one who said, I go, sir, and went not. And this is typical of hypocritical Christians who say they love Jesus outwardly, but really don't, as proven or seen by their life and their spirit. They know all the lingo, and maybe they even know how to dress, you know, to make the appearance right. And they have it all down, you know, with the appearance of things. And they say, I go, sir. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But their life is completely different when they're not in church. their life is completely different than the things that come out of their mouth. So many times, that's the way it is with Christians, though. They call Him Lord. Oh, I love Jesus. But they have no intention of following and obeying His will. They would rather, and they do, make those decisions based on their own understanding and do whatever they want to do. Well, Peter's great lesson in all of this is that the Lord was showing Peter that the Gentiles were included in the scope of the gospel, in the scope of salvation, and that he just had to get past himself and just surrender to God's will and way, even if he didn't fully understand it. Hey, here's the life lesson. We don't always fully understand God's will. And so sometimes we just need to get past ourselves and let God be God and be surrendered and yielded to whatever His will is. Peter just had to get past himself and his prejudice, and the Lord had to show that to him so that He could use him in His plan. I think Peter's what we would call a three times man. A three times man. In Matthew chapter 26, since we're here, look at this. Matthew 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And what happened? He denied him thrice. You can read over in John chapter 21 where Jesus said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said it to him three times, didn't he? Again, in Acts chapter 10, he said, not so, Lord. And that thing happened three times for him to get the point. But let me make this application. How many times does it take for us to obey? Are you with me? You know, in our text here, this is in context of God sending Peter, telling Peter to go and to do something, do His commands. And so the context is here's a command from the Lord to go out and do it. And so, and there's an application there. You know, the Lord might be prompting somebody to do something for Him, and they keep resisting and resisting because they don't want to surrender it or yield it to the Lord, or they're afraid. But let's look at it from the other side of the perspective as well. What about stopping doing things, stopping what He doesn't want in our life, but our flesh does? You with me here? Let me rephrase that. We're talking about how many times does it take for us to obey the will of God? And the context is about going and doing. But how many times does the Lord say, I don't want this in your life. Stop doing that. Change this about your life. And the flesh doesn't want to let it go. How many times does it take for us to obey? Sometimes we choose the side of our flesh rather than obey the Lord. And this can play itself out in all kinds of areas of our life. Like how we dress, for example. We're supposed to be separate from this world. We're supposed to be dressed modestly and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe there's a higher standard that we need to be keeping. And maybe the Spirit of God brings some of that conviction into our life, but our flesh says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to surrender that to the Lord. I don't want to change. How many times does it take for us to obey? Maybe it's in standards and separation from this world, or maybe it's separating from people that are not spiritually uplifting. There's another one. There might come a point in time in your life, child of God, Christian, where you need to draw some lines and you need to take some stands and you need to separate yourself from those who would not be spiritually uplifting. Rather, they only tear you down or influence you in the wrong direction. Come on. And maybe the Spirit of God brings that little bit of conviction at times into the life. And we say, our flesh makes up excuses. Our flesh makes up reasons why we don't want to surrender that to the Lord. Peter's a three times man. How long does it take us? How many times does it take for us to obey? Peter eventually did the Lord's will. Praise the Lord for that. All too often there are people who don't, though. And that hardened heart and that unyielded spirit and will that doesn't yield itself to the will of God eventually takes these people right out of God's will. Let's not be those kinds of people. Let's be surrendered and yielded to the will of God. Let's not lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in every aspect of life, and He will direct our steps. That's the place of safety. That's the place of joy. That's the place of contentment. Just being simply yielded and surrendered. Amen? That's the best place to live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these great principles, and pray, Lord, that You would take them and help us to apply them in our own lives, and Father, be determined that we'll be yielded to the will of God. Be determined we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to acknowledge You and have a truly surrendered and open heart to the will of God. Father, I pray that You bless Your people. Thank You for this church. Father, thank You for these dear folks. Lord, I pray that You'd grow us in the Lord and continue to mature us and make us in the image of Christ, so that we might serve You better, that You might be pleasing or be pleased with the response of Your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to be with you folks tonight. We'll continue on in this portion of Scripture next week. There's several more things that I didn't even get to tonight, but we'll continue with this series next week, Lord willing. All right? Okay, don't forget daylight savings time on Sunday. And we'll look forward to seeing you then, all right? Lord bless you. You're dismissed.